really great to be here. We just finished an awesome roundtable. My name is Brooke Rollins. I have the greatest, other than being the mom to the four most amazing children, the greatest honor of my life is to be the Secretary of Agriculture. And it isn't the titles or the fancy meetings or all the things. It is the opportunity to fight for the men and women standing behind me. That's the honor in all of it. And we're a year and a half in. We've got 2.5 to go. I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the accomplishments to date. But let me just start by saying to be in Minnesota, my mom, my whole family is from here. I'm a Texas girl. I was born and raised there. But we spent every summer here in Minnesota at our family farm, which is about 2 hours from here. We stayed there last night. It's the first time I've been there since being sworn in. We spent every summer here, every vacation here. I worked our cornfields, our soybean fields. This is where I fell in love with agriculture as a very young girl. And so to be here now is very full circle at this farm fest with these amazing row croppers and our some of our greatest congressmen and women standing behind me. So again, just thank you very much. I've got a couple of comments and remarks and announcement, and then I'm gonna ask a couple of our congressmen, your wonderful Brad Finstad, amazing Michelle Fischbach, and surprise to me, the vice chair of the Ag Committee, all the way from Georgia is here, Austin Scott, who does a wonderful job. Austin, I'll see if you wanna say anything as well. And then we'll take questions from the press. So again, I wanna thank everyone for being here. And I always appreciate the opportunity to hear directly from our incredible farmers about how the USDA and really the entire federal government, it is a different government today under President Trump. I know a lot of people don't love that, but if you love freedom and you love liberty and you love farmers, it's a good team to be a part of in Washington. But how can we, ever since Abraham Lincoln founded the U.S. Department of Agriculture in 1862, how can we do better? How can we make sure that we're serving our number one customer, the farmer and the rancher? And when I walked into that building in Washington a year and a half ago, February 13th of 2025, the number one most important thing I said we're going to do is we're going to completely reorganize this department around agriculture and farmers and ranchers. It is no longer going to be about DEI. It is no longer going to be about radical climate agendas. It is going to be about our farmers. And I think that we have made great strides in doing that, and I'm really, really proud of that. Today I was here specifically with this roundtable to talk about data collection and how I believe, while I'm very proud of the USDA team in many ways, over many years, our data collection services have failed our farmers and we have to do better. Every year, USDA publishes hundreds of reports that help provide objective and unbiased statistics that are fair and impartial to all market participants. And that data has historically, up until the last number of years, been considered the gold standard for market reporting. But the reality is that the service response rates have been declining for decades, and that we have lost the faith of the farmer in these surveys, and we've got to get it back. In 1992, response rates for crop production surveys averaged between 80 and 85%. By 2016, that number had dropped to 55%, so only about one of every two responded. And since 2016, response rates have only declined further, with current response rates total today averaging between 38 and 45%. So in some ways, that's almost just one out of every three of our farmers who are actually responding. And of course, depending on the month of the survey, we know there is a lot of room for improvement, and we want to restore producer confidence in USDA data so that it will continue to be accurate and be better for our farmers moving forward. We also know that there is technology that we can leverage to improve the accuracy of USDA data while reducing survey burdens on our farmers. And we talked a little bit about that with our wonderful farmers that were here with me today. That's why over the last 18 months, we have worked so hard to modernize, including through our One Farmer, One File initiative. Earlier this year, we published a request for information to collect public comments on U.S. data products. And just last month, we announced we're preparing a USDA modernization plan to be released later this year. As One Farmer, One File develops, and as we work on that data modernization plan, it is more important than ever that we hear directly from our farmers who rely on these data products to make important decisions about their operation. Today, I'm excited to announce that USDA will host a series of data modernization listening sessions. We'll consider this one the very first one here at the Minnesota Farm Fest across our nation over the next month with our great producers. Their input will be critical in informing and refining our modernization plan. So basically, we're working to take what would normally be meetings inside the walls of USDA in Washington, D.C. Instead, we're taking those meetings to the farmers to hear directly from them. And the next month, we'll be in Indiana, in Wisconsin, in Pennsylvania, in Illinois. We'll be at Dakota Fest. We'll be in Missouri. We'll be in Iowa. We'll be in Nebraska. And the Farm Progress Show, which is in Boone, Iowa this year, will be our final listening session. Most of those meetings will be affiliated Indiana State Fair, Wisconsin State Fair, Penn State Ag Progress Days, Illinois State Fair, Dakota Fest, Missouri State Fair, the Iowa State Fair, and the Nebraska State Fair. So at a time where we want people to come and tell us what they think and how to do better. At the end of the day, improving data collection, analysis, and reporting is all about ensuring we can continue to carry out our mission in an efficient and effective way. As I close, it's worth recalling that throughout the past 250 years of American greatness, our farmers have laid it all on the line to keep our nation fed and our freedom alive. By keeping our food supply secure, they safeguard our national security, and with it, the American way of life. This administration appreciates that daily sacrifice, more than I think anyone knows, which is why we are making sure we're putting our farmers first and at the center of policymaking in Washington, D.C., and at the center of the national conversation, exactly where our farmers belong. Now, it's my pleasure to turn it over first to Minnesota's 7th District Congresswoman Michelle Fishback. Obviously, your state Senate president before being in Congress was with me last night at our family farm where we were talking about women in agriculture and a real champion for our farmers. Michelle, what a joy. Thank you.
I want to thank the Secretary for being here and for holding this just critical listening session, because that is something that Secretary Rollins is really about, is making sure that government, that the USDA, is responsive to the farmers. I think you said it's about the farmers. And that is why collecting this data in the right way and getting the information and the input from farmers from across the Midwest and Austin said you didn't mention Georgia, so I think you'll be in Georgia soon.
Oh, yeah. And Georgia.
But getting that critical information from the folks with boots on the ground and making sure that they are hearing how the USDA can improve its data and improve its response to the farmers is so critical. And Secretary Rollins is doing that. That is what she's about. She has hit the ground running when she got there, and is making sure that the USDA is responsive to those farmers. And I'm thrilled about making sure that we have the data that we need to make, for not only for farmers to make good decisions, but for government to make good decisions. And so I appreciate the Secretary being here and making sure that we are hearing from all of the farmers. Thank you for all being here and for all of you that joined in the listening session, and all of those farmers that will be part of the upcoming listening sessions. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Michelle. Yep. Thank you.
Now, it's an honor to represent my dear friend, Brad Finstead, who's done just a remarkable job. He and Michelle and Austin and all of our congressmen who fought so hard for the Working Families Tax Cut Act, also known as the One Big Beautiful Bill. And one thing I want to note, Brad, thanks to your leadership, that bill was the largest investment in rural America in history. It was an increase in reference prices because the former administration couldn't quite get a farm bill done. As you all know, no increase in reference prices for more than a decade. It increased reference prices. It exempted 2 million family farms from the death tax. It improved crop insurance. We got more base acres. That bill was honestly probably the single most important bill for rural America and for farmers that we've perhaps seen in our lifetime. And a big part of that was Austin. I'm going to let him talk in just a second, from Georgia, our vice chair. But Brad, your leadership and Michelle's and others was paramount. And so how important it is to have the right people and the right leaders in Washington to make sure that we're battling for the right things just can't be overstated enough. So, Congressman Finstead, what a joy to work with you every single day, and thank you for your leadership.
Well, good morning, everyone. Madam Secretary, don't get used to this weather. Usually Farm Fest is 100 degrees, and we're sweating through a shirt at this time already. But really, do want to welcome you back to your home. Welcome back to Minnesota. It was so great to hear just your personal testimony about how you found your love for agriculture right here in Minnesota. Yeah. And it's so fun to watch you lead the agency with putting the farmer first. Mm-hmm. And these sets of listening sessions really is about that. Far too often we see policy that we as farmers have to live with that are written by bureaucrats for bureaucrats in the marble halls of Washington, D.C. And what you're seeing here in real time is a secretary that wants to have farmer-led, farmer-driven discussions. So these policies are for farmers by farmers. And that's so important. And you look at the data collection and you look at the trust that needs to be built. This is how it's built. As a farmer myself, a fourth generation farmer, sometimes I have to wake up in the morning and figure out, am I going to put the John Deere hat on or the Congress hat on? I'm going to speak from a farmer perspective a little bit right now. And there is no doubt about it that we live in some tricky times, but hope is on the horizon. And as we in the federal government, and specifically at the USDA, listen to our farmers, modernize an agency that is a pillar agency. Back to Abraham Lincoln, it is so important to the history of our country and the future of our country, but it needs to keep with the times. Now, a couple quick things I think to highlight of the importance of listening and responding. In Congress, we will pass certain pieces of legislation, and I think back to recent history when we did disaster aid. And I would get calls from farmers and constituents and saying, well, you guys passed that like 6 months ago. When are we going to get that? And as a farmer, I'm like, yeah, when are we going to get that? That doesn't make sense. We already appropriated the funding in Congress. Now fast forward. Because of the Secretary's leadership, the last bridge payment, over 57,000 farmers received that payment within 5 days. And that is a big paradigm shift in regards to the delivery of services to our farmers. So
thank you
for being willing to listen to the greatest, most honorable, noble profession this country has seen, and that's farmers. Yeah. And we look forward to a lot of great feedback that you get all over the country. Thank you for being here.
Well said, Joe. Thank you.
I really, really appreciate Brad saying that, and I think it's worth noting, especially for our press. Under the new One Farmer, One File system, we were able to move that bridge payment out, as he mentioned, to 57,000 farmers within 3 days. Before One Farmer, One File, to move that amount of money out would have taken several months, even in the best case scenario. So I think that is a really great vision cast for what we're working to do for all of the programs across USDA and make it simple, easy, fast, and efficient, and help farmers do what they do best, which is not paperwork, not filling out surveys, but actually farming. So that's the goal. A real leader in this has been our vice chair, as I mentioned, Austin Scott from Georgia, and he's just been an incredible partner as we've worked together the last 18 months, and we'll be working together probably a lot more. So please help me welcome the vice chair of the Ag Committee in Washington, U.S. House member from Georgia, Austin Scott.
Thank you, Brooke. If you don't understand what I'm saying, Michelle or Brad can translate. No,
yeah, exactly. It's in Minnesota.
I want you to know this. I serve on two committees with Brad, Armed Services and Agriculture, and I serve on the Rules Committee with Michelle, which some of those meetings are 24 hours plus.
Yeah, hang out a lot.
Both of your members show up for work, and that's... Believe it or not, there are a lot of members of Congress that don't show up for work. But you've got two members that every time I look around in a committee meeting, they are not just in their chair. They are prepared, and they are doing their job, and they're carrying the message for you. And it doesn't matter if we're in the committee meetings or if we've gotten called into the speaker's office on something like E15. Brad and Michelle are there fighting for you. They're doing it the right way. They're getting things across the finish line. And let me say this about my president and about my speaker, and I'm gonna go in reverse order there. The Speaker of the House, when we were doing the bridge payments, there was a faction that demanded that it be taken out of the disaster aid package where the storms had come in and hit Florida and Georgia and some of the other states so bad. The Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, said, we're not going to do that. We've never done that before. We're going to stand by the farmers, and we're not taking that payment out of the disaster aid of the other Americans that had been hurt. He stood with us. He carried it across the finish line. And our president is there advocating for our farmers day in and day out. And I want to mention the one thing that doesn't get talked about enough, because the left likes to attack our president on the trade-related issues. One of the greatest threats to our ag economy that is not being discussed is the non-tariff trade barriers that are being put in on ag products grown in the United States of America by the European Union. The president is on top of that. He does not get credit for being on top of that enough. But I'm going to tell you, those non-tariff trade barriers like the residual testing and the other things are a real threat to the U.S. ag economy. I'm thankful that I got a president of the United States that is willing to, you know, let us stand on his shoulders and let him fight that fight for us. And he has selected Brooke Rollins as a great Secretary of Agriculture. I'm partial to Sonny Perdue, too, Brooke. But you're giving him a great big run for his money. Hey, thank you for the chance to be here with you, and God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
I want to introduce Luke Lindbergh, who I didn't also realize was going to be here, our Undersecretary for Trade, who has done an incredible job. And we're going to talk from the main stage when I give the keynote. We're going to talk a little bit more about trade and the 20 new trade deals and opening the markets of the world back up. And Luke has been such an incredible champion on that and is the best of the best. So, Luke, thank you. I just wanted to recognize you. Thank you so much. Round of applause, please. Where's our president of the Minnesota Corn Growers? He didn't know I'm calling him. Where's Wes? Would you mind saying a couple words? I just realized you're hearing from all the politicians. Let's hear from a farmer. Although Brad, you count for that too. I didn't ask him to do this. He didn't know. But Wes and these farmers, and I've got a good friend Sam from Illinois, so not all Minnesota corn growers here. Really, what you represent and what you stand for, and your guys and girls. Just inspire me and honor me every day. So I'd love it if you just wanted to say a couple words, and we're so grateful for hosting us today. This is Wes, the president of the Minnesota Corn Growers. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I'd like to welcome you to Farm Fest in southern Minnesota. You know, this is a great time of the year here.
Yeah.
You get to see the crops up and growing.
Beautiful.
And, you know, you can see the impact that all these people have, and we're so thrilled to have you here to witness mm-hmm. all of that. We also want to thank you for the work on behalf of farmers. You know, the money that's come out the last few years, the modernizations, you know, it's all good.
Mm-hmm.
It's all good. And it's not political, it's just good. So thank you for coming. Thank you for being here, and thank you for your work.
Thank you, Wes. Thank you.
I didn't ask him to speak so he could thank me, but I really appreciate it. Appreciate your leadership. Thank you. All right, we'll take a couple questions, and then I think we're moving to the next thing. Yes, sir. And would you introduce yourself, please?
Yeah, Noah Fish from AgWeek. We're talking about the importance of data. Senator Klobuchar has raised rising farm bankruptcy data to you directly. Farm bankruptcies are up right now. Does USDA accept that number reflects current policy? And what do you tell a Minnesota farmer facing a lender this fall?
Well, first of all, let's talk about the farm bankruptcy. It's a very important question. So when you read the clickbait headlines, it says farm bankruptcies are up 146%. Let me be clear, one farm bankruptcy is one too many. We've set up a concierge service at USDA. Any farmer facing bankruptcy, we are coming alongside them. But when you look at the numbers, it's basically 150 bankruptcies in 2024. That jumped to about 230. Forgive my math, I'm an Aggie, may not be perfect. So from about 150 to about 230, that is out of 1.7 million farms in America. So that's actually 0.003% of farmers in America faced bankruptcy last year. That's way below any other industry in terms of bankruptcies. So I am not a fan of that statistic because I think it doesn't tell the full story, and I think it's used for clickbait. And I think it does a disservice to all of our farmers. What I will say is what I am much more worried about is the loss of farms to solar, to wind, to development, and just to for our farmers who don't think that it's worth giving it and fighting for the next generation to pass the farm along. That is a much, 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 much bigger problem. And that is what we're really trying to solve for right now. Number one, opening up the world markets again. We inherited a $50 billion agricultural trade deficit. Not one new trade deal in the last administration under Biden. We now have 20, as I mentioned, under Luke, and more coming under President Trump. But Luke leading the way for USDA. This year in 2026, we're expecting to have record exports of corn and ethanol. Dairy's gonna be way up, tree nuts are gonna be way up, beef and et cetera. So we're gonna have a really good trade year, number one. Number two, opening up the domestic markets. So opening up international first. Number two, opening up the domestic markets. That's why year-round E15 is so important in our biofuels. And then number three, bringing the cost of inputs down. We're already making a ton of progress on labor. Fertilizer, even with the Iranian conflict, is coming down. We're doing a lot there. Seeds, inflation, et cetera, all coming down. So if we can hit all three of those marks, then the much bigger problem than farm bankruptcy, which is farmers just giving up and selling out, data centers, et cetera, then we will be able to solve for a lot of that, and we will keep farmers farming and ranchers ranching, and it's a national security issue from my perspective. The minute we begin to rely on other countries for our food supply, our freedom is over. And in 2023 was the first year we imported more food than we exported. So we got to get that back. But thank you for letting me elaborate on that. Yes, sir. Correct.
Why do you think we've been seeing that trend for a few decades?
No, that's right. And would you mind introducing yourself?
Oh yeah, Evan Bird, KUIC.
Oh, thank you so much. Great to have you here. The question was about why have we seen survey rates fall from what was 85% or more 40 years ago, 20 years ago around 60%, and today in many cases less than 40% and going down. There's probably a lot of opinions on that. My opinion is that, and based on the farmers that I've been listening to and talking to over the last year and a half, I think our farmers have just lost confidence. I think they're frustrated with USDA. I think they're frustrated with the process. I think it's a very labor-intensive process that requires paperwork, et cetera, in a lot of different ways. And so those are all the things we want to solve for. We want to make it easy. We want to make it efficient. We want to make it the gold standard again. We want to make it something that the farmers want to participate in and that they can eventually trust what comes out of USDA as they're making their decisions. And that's why, and again, that's why these listening tours are so important for me, is that for these farmers to know that they're being heard and we're following up and we're building plans, not based on what Washington, D.C. is telling us, but based on what these men and women are telling us. I think it will change for the better. Thank you. Yes, sir. How does the data collection, with reorganization from USDA? I thank you. So a lot of you may have heard that in President Trump's vision to return power to the people and to get the power center out of Washington and back to America, the Americans, just as our founders envisioned 250 years ago, what we've seen under both Republicans and Democrats up until this term and this president is a real coalescing of power in Washington, D.C. The fact that the EPA, for example, has 15,000 employees in Washington, D.C., most of which are making our farmers' lives very difficult, among other things. How do we return that balance of power to what the founders envisioned for USDA? We're a very, very large agency. When I started, almost 100,000 employees. Now we're down to about 80,000 now. To be clear, that includes the Forest Service, which is a lot of firefighters on our payroll. That includes the food stamp program. A lot of welfare programs are housed at USDA. But the actual farming piece of this, from my perspective, as I mentioned, is the priority and of paramount importance. And so to have all those employees in Washington and not near a farm or near rural America, I think that's a big reason that for years USDA strayed from its main mission. So the way that the reorganization will align with this data effort is as we're moving big parts of USDA back out into the country and closer to the people, the data collection piece of it, the modernization piece of it will stay centered in Washington, but with our more boots on the ground out in America, that will allow us to get real-time information back. One thing I mentioned, I think it'll be very interesting to you in the press, and I mentioned it to the guys earlier, is that the reason this modernization effort is very different from any that's ever been tried is when the president brought Elon Musk in at the beginning of our term last year for the DOGE, for the Department of Government Efficiency efforts. That effort, I believe, was very good. A little clumsy here and there, but really, really good and got us some good results. But ultimately, it wound down at the end of last spring. It was just a couple of months. And so most of the geniuses that came in with Elon, technology geniuses and others that came in with Elon, all went back to the private sector for the most part after that ended a year ago. What we did at USDA is I asked our DOGE team to stay and help us rebuild all of this technology. Because in government, we've got really great, wonderful people working in technology, but these are not world changers. These are not Elon Musk technology innovators. And so for us at USDA to have that sort of leadership on this issue is a once in a government's lifetime opportunity, and I didn't want to let it go. And so I think that's why you saw One Farmer, One File come out very quickly and be very successful, and you'll see more of that coming. Oh, thank you, sir. Yes, sir. Last question. Yes, sir. Yes.
I'm hearing more concerns about how data will be collected. What assurances can you give people that their privacy will be respected?
Yeah, and our 36-year-old farmer, I think our youngest, Jordan, yes, right there, brought that up in the roundtable as well. I think that is an absolutely imperative flag that we need to keep waving and making sure. I think that not just within this particular project and modernizing our NAS surveys and WASDE reports, et cetera, but just across the government, you know, this is a balancing act. How do we get this information in real time? How do we move these funds out into accounts within 24 hours to 48 hours? How do we do all of that with all of this data that we have and make sure that we're protecting Americans and our farmers? And I don't worry about under the Trump administration, but I do worry when we leave, when all of that data is there, have we put in all of the right safeguards and walls to make sure? So the good news is we have the most incredible team of the smartest people in the world working on it, and that this will continue to be a priority. But after our conversation today, I've written it down. I'm going to go back to DC and double down on exactly what we're doing and ask the team to double down on it as well, and then be able to report back to our farmers and others what we're doing in that space. It's a great question. All right, I want to thank everybody. Brad or Michelle or Austin, any final closing thoughts? Okay, I want to thank everybody for being here. What an honor. I know congressmen and women and I are going over to do another roundtable now with farmers and ranchers representing other segments of Minnesota agriculture, which I'm very excited about. But this morning, to spend time with our corn growers, as I mentioned, myself growing up in all my summers in our family corn farm 2 hours from here, a row crop farm in Clear Lake, Minnesota. This was very, very special to me. So I'll leave a little bit of my heart here with our corn guys and girls, and thank you for your attention, and really, really honored to be here this year at Minnesota Farm Fest. Thank you all so much. Thank you.